finally, and they started a little Bible study in their neighborhood that ended up being what we are right here today. So I'm here to tell you, that's why a close encounter with God is so important. When you really come in contact with God and he really speaks with you, he will change everything. Whatever direction you were going in, he will change everything. And that last week we talked about Moses. Moses was doing his regular thing. He was out there feeding the sheep. And God got his attention and he became the deliverer of the people of Israel. Today we're going to look at another person in the New Testament. If you have your Bible, you can turn to Mark chapter 5. It's also found in Luke chapter 8. I believe it also in Matthew chapter 8 is another account of it. But it's an account of a man. Today we're going to talk about a close encounter, but from the perspective, and we're going to call the message today from madman to missionary. From madman to missionary, because this is the story of a gentleman, he calls himself Legion. That wasn't his real name. That was the demons inside of him speaking. But this was a man who was just flat out demon possessed. And in the scripture this morning, we're going to look at this man and see what happened with a close encounter with Jesus and how a close encounter with God changed his life today. Amen? We're going to look at Mark chapter 5. I'm going to start with the first five verses. We're going to go through the whole chapter, but we're going to do a few verses at a time. Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. So they arrived at the other side of the lake in the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the burial caves and could no longer be restrained, even with a chain. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrists and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night he wandered among the burial caves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. In Luke chapter 8, verse 27, it says that he was for a long time, he had been homeless and naked, living in the tombs outside of the town. This guy right here, man, this is a story of a guy, demon possessed, and I love it. It says that Jesus, when he arrived to the other side of the lake, where was Jesus coming from? Jesus had just come out of a storm. Jesus had just come out of a storm. He had just come through this storm where he was in the bottom of the boat, when he was in the boat sleeping, and the disciples thought the ship was going to crash, and Jesus spoke to the wind and the waves and told them, what? Peace be still. And the disciples said, now, who in the world is this dude that even the wind and the seas obey him? And this first stop after coming out of a storm is he goes and meets this guy who was demon-possessed. And as I read that, I thought about how much God loves you, how much Jesus loves you. And I believe that Jesus went past this man's way on purpose. And it showed me that, guess what? He will go through great lengths to give you deliverance. He will go through great lengths so that he can have an encounter with you. Jesus went through a storm. He just went through a storm, and his first stop was a place where he could show his power to somebody. He will go through great lengths so that you can see his face. And this man, he had an encounter with Jesus. And there's about five things that I want us to learn about this encounter through this man. And hopefully you got a handout this morning. It has a place where you can write your notes on it. But with this five things that we can learn about this gentleman, if you want to have a close encounter with Jesus, what you got to number one, you got to admit that you're in a serious crisis. This man was in a serious crisis. You need to admit you're in a serious crisis. Look at the verse. It says, they arrived at the other side. Verse 2, when Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from the cemetery to meet him. This man lived among the burial caves. He could no longer be restrained, even with a chain. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as often as he was, he snapped the chains from his wrists, smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Look at verse 5. It said, night and day, he wandered among the caves, the burial caves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. This man was in a serious crisis. And when we look at him, he was demon-possessed. I look at him and I think about us, the parallel that can be for us before we came and had our encounter with Jesus Christ. Where was he living? It says he was living where? In a cemetery. He was living in a cemetery. He was living what? Amongst the dead. And as I thought about that parallel, is a man who was living, but living amongst dead. He's like the walking dead. And before you have your encounter with Jesus, you got to recognize you're just like this man. You're like a walking dead person. He's living amongst the dead. There's some of us today, you got to listen, if you want to encounter with God, he wants to show you his face, but you got to admit that you're in a serious crisis and recognize that there's death all around you. The Bible said by one man, sin entered into the world, and what? Death by sin. Therefore, death passed on all of us. This brother was walking around living in the tombs in a cemetery. And that is the state that you are in before you have an encounter with God. You're alive in your body, but you're actually dead. We're spiritually dead. He was, and that's also a symbol of separation. He was living in the tombs. Do you know this man, the Bible, if you look at it later on, it says he had a family. He had a home. He had a family. But instead of being with his family, he was living in the tombs. Sin, listen, he had been separated. Do you know that's what sin does? Sin separates you. Separates you from God. But this man was in a separated position, living in the tombs. Not only was he separated, listen, he says he was off the chain. This guy was out of control. He was so out of control. When I say he was literally off the chain, they tried to put chains on him and he would break them off every time. He was out of control, living life out of control. And there are some of us before your encounter with God, right now you're living a very reckless life. An encounter with God. If you want to have an encounter with God, you got to recognize, listen, my life is spiraling out of control. This guy was wild, y'all. It said they tried to tame him. He couldn't even be around everybody else. When they tried to tame him, he would break out of the shackles. He was supernaturally strong. Before you have an encounter with God, listen, you're like a walking dead person. Your life spiraling out of control. Another thing that I noticed about it, he said he was naked. Everything had been, if in Luke chapter 8 says he was naked and homeless. He'd been stripped. And there are people today walking among us because of what life has presented to you, because of your life experience, who are naked right now. Whatever it is, family been stripped, finances been stripped. You feel like your mind is being stripped from you. This is the state that he was in. But I'm here to tell you, you are never too far for God to reach you. An encounter with God can change all of that. This man was in bad shape, y'all. Then it says, the passage says, if you look at verse 4 or 5, he says, he would run through the burial caves screaming and howling. You know what that means to me? He's in desperation. He's like, he's crying out like, can somebody help me? I know I'm in a fix, but I don't know how to get out of it. Have you ever been that way? Just feeling desperate, like, Lord, I know this isn't what you have for me, but I don't know a way out. That's how this guy was. He was desperate. Said he would run through the burial caves howling, just miserable, like, please, come somebody deliver me. Just reminds me of Romans chapter 7. Who can deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God. Jesus Christ has made it possible. And then it says, and what he would do, he would take the stones and cut himself. You know, that's a thing now with young people, cutting. You know, there's some young people that I know. Young people that I know that their parents complain of them. They find that they're cutting themselves. Self-destructive behavior. Why? Because they're so hurt on the inside, so broken. They even get a high from causing themselves pain. Self-destructive behavior, cutting themselves. That is that, you know, we talking in scripture, that's a reality. There's some people, there's maybe some young people in here today who are doing that. Parents may not even know it. You know, another self-destructive behavior is sexual promiscuity. Cutting yourself. The hurt on the inside, I don't know how to deal with it, so what do? I kind of mask it. I make it go to sleep by being sexually promiscuous, by aligning myself with as many people as I can to numb the pain. Another way people cut themselves is by different addictions, drugs. I was talking with a young man the other day. He said, listen, why does life bring me so much pain? He's a young kid. I've been in pain. All I've had in my life is pain. Not even 16 years old yet. He said, the reason why I smoke weed is so I can numb the pain. Self-destructive behavior. And people got to recognize, listen, what you got to understand, I try to tell this young man, when you stop, when you come down from the high, the pain is still there. You got to recognize you're in a crisis. You know, there's some people who are engaging in these self-destructive behaviors and they don't even know why they're doing it. They don't even know why they're doing it. And until you recognize and admit that you're in a serious crisis, it's going to be hard for you to get that deliverance. He wants to have a close encounter with you. But before you have that close encounter, what he wants you to do is admit you're in crisis. Today, under the sound of my voice, there are some of us, young and old, who are in serious crisis. You hanging around, everything around you is death and dying. Stuff has been stripped from you. You're desperate. You're trying other things. In your desperation, you're cutting yourself. Maybe not physically, but with alcohol, with drugs, with sex. I don't know what it is, with shopping, spending, whatever it is. It's self-destructive behavior because you're trying to mask the pain. And the only way, the only solution to your pain is Jesus Christ. So a close encounter with God, number one, what this man had to do, he had to admit, he had to recognize he was in a serious crisis. But not only that, look at verse 6. Verse 6 says, when Jesus was still some distance away, I told you, Jesus came all the way through the storm just for this man. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, ran to meet him, and bowed low before him. Aren't you excited that Jesus will come? Listen, he knows your pain. And I believe he came right to the Gerasenes just for this man's deliverance. And it says, when Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, and what did he do? Ran to meet him. What do I mean by that? Listen, if you want a close encounter with God, you got to go after him in a savage chase. You got to make a savage chase. This man was like a savage. The word savage means to be wild and untamed. You cannot be cavalier about your chase after God. See, when you're in a situation like this man, he saw Jesus, listen, and what he did when he was a distance away, the man saw him, and what did he do? He ran to him. He ran to him because I believe that he saw a solution to his problem. He ran to him. And today, if you want a close encounter with God, what you got to do, you got to have a savage chase after the Savior. You got to have a savage chase after the Savior. Whoever's thinking on that slide, if you, thank you. I appreciate that. You got to run after him. You got to, what am I, a savage chase mean? You got to go wild and untamed. But listen, I love the way David said it when Michael, his wife, was looking at him when he was praising God. And he said, look at you. You're making yourself look like a fool. And he said, woman, I will become even more undignified than this. When I think about what he has done for me, I will become even more undignified. He said, I don't care what people think about me. And when you're desperate, when your life is a mess like this man was a mess, you ought not to care what anybody says. You ought to run like a wild savage to get to Jesus. That's what this man did. He said, look, they already think I'm crazy. He ran to him. How many of you today are so desperate in a situation? Your situation is such a crisis that you'll be willing to run to him wild and untamed. That's what he's calling you to do. You know, I just think about that movie Castaway. I don't know why this came into my mind. You know, movies like Castaway and movies where people are stranded on islands by themselves. And whenever they're standing, and whenever they see a plane go over or look like a boat or any signs of life, do they say, hey, I'm over here. Look, I'm over here. I mean, you shout like you're out of your mind. You will run, you will swim, trying to get his attention. Say, I'm in desperate need of help. I need an encounter with you. Because if I don't, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't think I'm going to get out of this on my own. That's how you got to run after Jesus. In the Bible, listen, Jeremiah 29:13 says, if you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. He said, I ain't trying to hide from you. I want an encounter with you, but I want you to run desperate after me. Anybody desperate for his presence? It's the Christ. And see, the thing about it, if you don't think you're in a crisis, you ain't gonna run like a savage. This morning, guess what? The Bible tells us all of us are born in crisis. You might think your bank account is full. Do you know you're still in a crisis? See, you got to recognize that every day, the Bible says you're born in sin and shaped in iniquity. That means I'm born like this man walking among the tombs, walking among the dead. And listen, I'm homeless. I'm stripped. You gotta be in that mindset that, listen, I'm desperate for you every single day. Every day without your presence is a crisis. Are you that desperate for his presence in your life? You got to admit that you're in a serious crisis. And after you admit that you're in a serious crisis, would you have to go after his presence on a savage chase to run after him? Next thing, I want you to see this. When you make that decision to run to him like this man did in Mark chapter 5, verse 6, he ran to Jesus. Look at verse 7 and 8. It says, with a shriek, he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had already said to the spirit, "Come out of the man, you evil spirit." Nobody even had to tell you. Jesus had already spoken to the need before a request was made. But what I saw in this was a struggle. See, the man, he ran to Jesus in desperation, but when he got to Jesus, inside of him, a voice came out with a shriek and said, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" It doesn't sound crazy. Like, it's almost like, what are you come bothering me for? But he had to humble himself because I recognize who I'm talking to. "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me. Leave me alone." See, what happens is, the next point is, whenever you run after the presence of God, whenever you desire a close encounter with God, what you need to do, you need to expect a spiritual conflict. You need to expect a spiritual conflict. He ran because he knew he was in trouble. He knew he was in a crisis, and he ran, but from the inside, something came and said, "Why are you interfering with what's going on here?" Because he said, listen, whenever you run to deliverance, there's something else that's going to rise up out of you that said, "Listen, I don't want that deliverance. Just leave us alone." It's that struggle. It's that when I want to do good, evil is present with me. It's the struggle that we talk about in Ephesians chapter 6. He said, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 said, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places." It's the spiritual warfare. Whenever you say, "I'm in a crisis and I'm trying to run to his side in his presence because I need an encounter with you," you can expect the devil to rise up and say, "Well, hold up a minute. There's something on the inside," because you got to understand, there's that flesh. Like he said, "I want to do good." It's that struggle. I know I need to be in his presence, but that flesh says, I just want to stay right where we are. It's comfortable where I am. I've been in the tombs for a while. I know I'm miserable. I'm bleeding, cut up. I'm butt naked. I mean, the things are going crazy, but I done got kind of used to this misery. And I don't know if by coming to you, I'm not familiar with that. So I go back to what's familiar. Have y'all seen some folks who stay in familiar places to you? It looks like it's crazy. Not just some folks. Some of us have been in some relationships that are familiar to us. And everybody on the outside says, "What is wrong with her?" I mean, you can see that he's not good for her. You can see that she's not good for him. You can see that's a bad situation. But you keep running back to the tombs. Why? Because I've been here for a while. Yeah, it's miserable, but I know what this is. And God, you're calling me to something different. And I know it might be better, but guess what? Even though it's better, it's still going to require, listen, it's going to require change. And change is never easy. We talked about this morning in our devotion. We talked about God being the potter and we're the clay. And I was telling the children, what happens is when the clay is not all that pretty. It's just a big old lump. But what the potter does, the potter puts his hand on it and he has to squeeze it and shape it and all that to make it into a different shape. But some in that shaping, that requires pressure. And in order for God to shape me into something beautiful, sometimes it requires some discomfort. And every now and then, what happens with the clay, when it messes up, then we got to smash it back down. Because you're hard-headed. I'm trying to shape you, but you're trying to fight me. I got to smash you back down, and let's put you back on this wheel and try to remold you. What God is doing, you got to expect there to be conflict. Whenever you want to encounter with God, the devil ain't going to make it easy for you. Everything is going to fight you. When you say, listen, for those of you who are followers of Christ, you say, I need a close encounter with God every morning. I want to spend time in his presence every single day. You can trust and believe that your children are going to get in your way. You can trust and believe that there's going to be a phone call that is very urgent, that seems very urgent, that said, look, I'm going to get back to this word. God, I'm coming back to you when I get back home. You're going to have spiritual conflict. You can expect when you say, God, in my close encounter with you, I want to walk, if you're single here, and you say, I want to walk in holiness and purity, you can trust and believe that your hormones are just going to go to another level. And God's going to bring up him or her that has just seemed like it's tailor-made right for you. You can expect the struggle. Expect spiritual conflict. And it's all about expectations. When you have the right expectations, you make the right preparation. See, when you know what to expect, when you come into this and say, God, I'm coming to an encounter with you, you press through the conflict. This man came to Jesus. He ran to Jesus. He ran to him like a savage. But then on the inside, that voice came out and said, oh, please don't interfere with us. Don't cast us out. Listen, just leave us alone. One thing you recognize about that spirit on the inside of him, that spirit on the inside recognized who Jesus was. The devil believes and trembles. So I'm here to tell you that, listen, acknowledge him and says, Jesus, Son of the Most High God. I'm here to tell you, intellectually acknowledging that Jesus is Lord is not enough for salvation. You can know that he is Jesus, the Son of the Most High God, but still be on your way to hell. The demon said, I know who you are, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God. I make an intellectual assent to that, but it still does not mean that you got to change life or change heart. Until you come to accept that I mentally acknowledge it, and then now it's why the Bible says, you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that he is who he says he is, that you are the only solution for my salvation, and I receive you into my life to forgive me, to make me right with God. Until then, it's just somebody, he might as well be just somebody in the history book for you. So the demons even acknowledge who he was. So number one, if you want a close encounter with God, the first thing that you must admit that you're in a serious crisis, you must run to him like a savage. You must chase after him like a savage. You got to expect there to be spiritual conflict. But listen, look at the next thing. I want us to look at verse 13. Go down to verse 13. So Jesus gave them permission. The evil spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the entire herd of about 2,000 pigs plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. The herdsmen fled to the nearby town and the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed out to see what had happened. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting there fully clothed, perfectly sane. And they were all afraid. What the next thing is, listen, you got to run to him like a savage. Expect there to be spiritual conflict. But once you press through, what he wants to do, he wants to bring deliverance. Jesus, what Jesus had done, he had commanded those demons to come out of him. And the Bible says those things, those spirits inside of him said, listen, just leave us alone. We got to go inside of something. So he sent them into the pigs. And a herd of 2,000 pigs went over the hill. And what happened is, when Jesus speaks into your life, when you have an encounter with Christ, when you have an encounter with God, when he speaks into your life, he's going to bring about supernatural change. Look at what happened to this man. The Bible says right here that man who had been possessed by a legion of demons, a legion, if you look at a legion, a legion of Roman soldiers could have been up to 6,000 men. And when they asked, what is your name? He said, my name is Legion, for we are many. Could you imagine 6,000 spirits inside of somebody? all them voices and all that going on. He said, listen, that people who saw this man crazy, cutting himself, destructive, doing all kind of crazy stuff, living amongst the tombs, they saw him. He was sitting at the feet of Jesus, fully clothed and perfectly sane. Do you know when you have an encounter with Jesus, he will bring about supernatural change in your life? I mean, it was so supernatural. It was so amazing. What did the pastor say? The people were scared to death. Instead of shouting like, oh, he's finally been delivered. People, like, what in the world is going on? And do you know that's going to happen in some of our lives too? No matter what you are bound up in, do you believe that Jesus can set you free? Do you believe that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or imagine? He spoke into, listen, because he is the God-man, he's the same one who spoke and said, let there be light, and the sun shines. He had just stepped out of the water where there was a storm, and he looked and the people were all upset, and he looked at the storm and he said, peace, be still. And they said, who is this man that even the wind and the seas obey him? If I can speak to the wind and the seas, if he can cause the sun to shine, can he speak in your life? Can he bring you out of whatever it is that has bound you up? There is nothing. Is there anything too hard for my God? And when you truly encounter the presence of God and you submit to the call on your life, he will work supernatural change. The Bible says this man in Luke chapter 8, they said they saw him sitting at the feet of Jesus, fully clothed and in his right mind. What an amazing picture. And the sad thing about it is most people missed it. Most people missed it. There's a man who was so dangerous that people couldn't even walk past him. And now he's sitting there in his right mind at the feet of Jesus, and folks were so scared. You know what they end up doing? Instead of coming to Jesus, they said, get him out of here. Get him out of here. Why? Because he sent the spirits into the pigs, and that destroyed their profit. They were more concerned about money than they were concerned about somebody's soul, somebody's deliverance. Do you know most people in the world and in church are more concerned about their own agendas than they are what God wants to do than deliverance? So they were more concerned about what God would have. They're more concerned about what my own agenda than God setting some folks free. Man, that hit me right there. That's us in the church sometimes. God wants to set folks free, and we worried about little things. We worried about the paint on the wall. We worried about the seating arrangements. We worried about mundane things, and there's somebody in here and out there who got a legion that he needs Jesus to speak into their life. And when the deliverance happened, we missed the deliverance because we're so caught up on our own stuff. God set a man free, and the people said, could you please leave? I feel like we ask Jesus to do that in church sometimes. Well, could you please leave? Because, you know, we got other plans that we're trying to do. That's what God, listen, what he wants to work is supernatural change. This morning, there's somebody under the sun. Matter of fact, everybody in here needs supernatural change. Just a matter of what area of your life you need it in. See, because when you admit that you're in a crisis, you might look good, your marriage might be good, but something else might be messed up. We're all jacked up or tore up from the floor up in some area. Can we all be honest? Ain't nobody in here got all of it together. And the fact of the matter is, we need him. We need a close encounter with God to work supernatural change in some area of your life. That's what he's calling you to. That's what he wants to do today. He has you to hear. That's why I prayed this morning. I said, pray this morning and last night. Lord, I don't want to give out more information. I just want to preach a word that brings transformation. And it's not by might nor by power, but by your spirit. God, I want Sunday. I want people's lives to be changed. And it ain't in the words. It's all in an encounter with you. Bring somebody to have an encounter with you so that they can experience supernatural change. When you come in contact with Jesus, guess what? You'll never be the same again. Last thing, look at verse 18, chapter 5, Mark. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. But Jesus said, no, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been. So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him. And everybody was amazed at what he told them. Once I experienced the change in my life, God is saying, now I must proclaim the Savior's compassion. What did he say? He said, I want you to go and tell everything he's done for you and how merciful he has been. That word merciful talks about his compassion. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end, but they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O God. If you have been a recipient, and if he has spoken into your life and you've received supernatural change, God now wants you to go and proclaim the Savior's compassion. Go and tell everybody how much he is merciful, gracious, loving, and powerful he is. I mean, and it makes sense. After Jesus delivered him, after I got delivered, I want to hang around with Jesus all the time too. I mean, because the man was desperate. He ran to him because he's like, I don't know how to get out of this. And this man spoke, set him free. And the man, after that, all I would want to do is just sit at your feet, Jesus. I just want to sit by your side. And he wants us to sit by his side. But he said, listen, it ain't going to do anybody good if you done got that deliverance and don't go and tell somebody else who needs the deliverance. The same young man that I was telling you I was talking to said, listen, why has life brought me so much pain? And I told him, sometimes we don't understand why God does it, but I know that there's a little boy somewhere who's about 4 or 5 right now, that he's going to be 15 one day, and somebody's going to do him like was done to you. And he needs to be somebody to tell him, guess what, young man, you can get out of it. He got me out of it. See, what you got to do, recognize that the pain that you've been through, God delivers you out of it so you can go tell somebody else, so you can get them out, so God can get them out of it. But with my man, I call him Legion. I don't even know what his name is. But what the brother wanted to do, he just wanted, Lord, can I go with you? You know, that ought to be our hearts. Jesus, I want to go with you wherever you go. Our hearts should be want to be in his presence. But we ought to also want to, listen, not just stay there. Get up from there and go tell somebody else. Again, like I said, I thought about that this morning and said how my brother was like, man, Jesus set me free. And y'all know, I love coming to church. Y'all know I love coming to church? Sister Kim Burson always calls me a church baby. You know, because, you know, I'm a pastor's kid, you grow up in church. I love being in church. I love praise and worship. I love fellowshipping with y'all. And I love sitting at the feet of Jesus and sitting and worshiping. But the Lord is saying, listen, no. You come here for a minute. Yes, that's fine. But I set you free. I did a work in your life. There's somebody out there on that corner that needs to know that. So while you in here singing, blessed be the name of the Lord and all that, and sitting there, that's fine. But you need to come back in here. We come back, and at the end of the day, come back and tell me, you know, and sit at my feet. But right now, what I need you to go, I need you to go to the 10 towns. I need you to go to the 10 towns and tell everybody what God has done in your life. And what happened? Well, it says when the people heard it, when they heard it, everyone was amazed at what he told. That can't be anybody but God. That can't be anybody but God. And who is this? Tell me more. Do you know your testimony is the most powerful tool to win folks to Christ? What he has brought you through and done in your life, there are people who need to hear that and people who are in the middle of it. You know, now I believe this brother could go into other towns where there are other people. I'm sure there were other places where people were living in the tombs like him. And he could walk right into them tombs and say, guess what? I know a man. I know a man who spoke into my life and set me free. Matter of fact, brother, I was in worse shape than you were. You should have seen me. I was naked, cut myself. I mean, if you see me now, you would have never believed. I remember I had this conversation with Brother Bruce, and I'm sure he wouldn't mind me saying that. Brother Bruce said, man, if you would have seen me about 15, 20 years ago, you wouldn't believe who you're looking at. You wouldn't believe who you're looking at. Brother Bruce told me, when you say strung out, I was out there. I mean, when you see me now, Brother Bruce is sharp, ain't he? He always sharp. I love the shirt. Bruce is always sharp. But he said, if you had seen me 20 years ago, you would have been, oh, let me hold my bag. But when you have a close encounter with Jesus, am I right, Brother Bruce? Once you got a close encounter with Jesus, you don't even look the same. Somebody else got a testimony like that, maybe different from Bruce's, but something else. I know I had an encounter with Jesus. I told you last week I had an encounter with Jesus in January 1991. I ain't been the same since. They had an encounter with Jesus in 1973. Haven't been the same since. That's why this building is here, right here today. Not because of what they've done, but because of the encounter that God had, that they had with God. And I'm here to tell you, I don't know about you, that kind of change, I want that in my life. I want that. That's why we say, that's why our vision here is for people to encounter his presence, discover their purpose, and experience his power. And when you experience his power in your life, you'll never be the same. Amen. Can we all stand together? From madman to missionary. If you're here today and you say, look, man, God has worked out, his power has changed me. Now he wants to put you on a mission. He's commissioning you to go and proclaim the Savior's compassion. Go and tell everybody. Go be a witness to his power. You don't have to know a whole lot of scriptures. Studying the Word of God. You need to study your Word. I'm not minimizing the study of your Word. You need to study the Word of God. But guess what? The most powerful thing, most powerful testimony is a changed life. And there's some people that you used to hang with, some people used to be out there with, partying with, doing whatever with, and now that you're a different person, they need to see why you're a different person. And just know that everybody, once you change, everybody ain't going to be happy about it. People got their own agendas. Just like with my man here in the scripture, everybody wasn't rejoicing. Some people said, Jesus, please get out of here. We got other things we're trying to do. That's okay. But what Jesus will do now, he will send you on a mission to proclaim his glory to the world so that others can be one to him. With all of our heads bowed and eyes closed today, just want to ask, is there somebody who's willing to admit they're in a serious crisis? Is there somebody willing to admit they're in a serious crisis? Life is spinning and spiraling out of control for you. It's like this guy in the scripture, you might be engaging in some self-destructive habits. And you're just desperate and frustrated. You feel like crying out day after day, just like this man, day and night. It said he just ran through the tombs howling because he just did not see a way out. And if that's you today, you're just desperate and you can't see a way out, I'm here to tell you there's a way out. The Jesus, he came, he lived, he died so that he could set you free. He loves you. He has a plan for your life. And all he asks you to bring him your pain, bring him your hurt, bring him your sins. And what he wants to do, he wants to forgive you, he wants to love you, and take all of that. He died to pay for all of that mess. He wants to take all of that and to give you his righteousness. But the first thing you got to do is admit you're in a severe crisis. If there's somebody here today is willing to admit, Pastor Duane, I'm in a severe crisis. I need a relationship. I need a personal, close encounter with God. If you're willing to admit you're in a severe crisis and you need a close encounter with God today, will you raise your hand right where you are? Is there one?
I need a close encounter with God. I'm in a severe crisis. I'm desperate. I've been crying out. I've been trying to find solutions in all other areas, and ain't nothing working. He's calling you to run to Jesus today. He's here. Is there one who'll come to him today, just like you are? No matter what it is, why don't you come just like you are? Is there one who'll come? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name, God. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Said, I'm desperate. You ready to cry out to him today? Thank you, Lord. The good thing about God, he's merciful and he's loving, he's gracious. No matter what it is, he wants to set you free. He wants you to experience supernatural change. Thank you, Lord. Dear God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord God, for your word, and we thank you for your mercy, for your compassion. They do not change. And Lord God, as we think about our man in our lesson today, desperate, things in his life out, spinning out of control. And Lord, he ran to you in desperation, seeing that you are the only solution to his dilemma. And I thank you, Lord, for these who've come to say, Lord, we're desperate for you right now. We ask, Heavenly Father, now that you will speak into their lives that they might experience supernatural power. We thank you, Lord God, for a close encounter with you, and that you desire to continue to for us to continue to have close encounters with you. I pray, Lord God, that you will speak into their lives and that they'll never be the same again. And having done a supernatural work, that now you will launch and send them to proclaim your glory to the world. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give God a hand of praise today.